Hey everyone, welcome back to The Luminary. I'm Josie.
And I'm Monica.
And we are here today to talk about the Spartan Threes. Just talk a little bit about them, fun stuff we like about them.
Yeah.
Nothing too fancy.
It's a favorite topic of ours, isn't it?
Yeah, we love the Threes, actually, a lot. We love the Spartan Threes a normal amount.
I've been looking forward to this episode for a long time.
Actually, slam, yeah. I mean, it's not like Ghost of Onyx is one of our all-time favorite novels.
I know. How many times have we talked about that? Really quickly, though, I do want to address the elephant in the room. Right now, in the first couple months of 2023, we're totally aware of the flurry of Halo news that has happened this past month. We're not going to get into it here because it's a lot. But in short, I mean, some of it was not great news for the single player or story fans like us, at least from like a potential future campaign perspective. But as far as this podcast is concerned, we're still going to talk about Halo as we always do. I don't think we've said this before, but I don't think it would have to be a huge like life changing thing for me to be like, I don't want to talk about Halo anymore.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're just going to keep finding topics. The universe is vast. There's almost endless amount of things we could talk about. So that's what we're going to do, is just kind of power ahead. And I just wanted to note that because it has been pretty dramatic the past
month. It's kind of like the big Halo topic at the moment.
Yeah.
For better or worse.
Yeah. We have our personal opinions on it, but as far as the podcast is concerned, you know.
We are here for a fun time, not a critical time.
Right. Exactly. I just wanted to note that. But let's talk about the threes. Let's talk about the Spartan threes.
Who are the Spartan threes, Monica? We all know the Spartan twos.
Spartan threes are the Spartans that came after the Spartan twos and come before the Spartan fours.
That's how numbers work, yes.
So I don't know if that's just really a revelation to anybody here, but that's big news.
Yeah.
But the Spartan threes were, again, they were the next iteration of the Spartan program after the Spartan twos. And the twos, you know, I'm sure everybody listening to this podcast knows like the difference between them, but the twos, you know, John, Linda, Fred, Kelly, that we have a kind of some godlike characters in the twos. But the Spartan two program came with a lot of problems, right?
Yeah, they were originally meant to put down rebellions. All of the candidates were abducted, so it was not terribly consensual. Child soldiers, human experimentation, high mortality rates, very, very wonderful things.
And very expensive, right?
Extremely expensive. I think like a suit of Mjolnir costs as much as a frigate, something about that.
Yeah, something like that. It was like costs as much as a starship.
Yeah.
And the other problem was there aren't many of them. As much as they were publicized, finally, when, you know, Section 2 sent out, like, look at these beautiful, all of these soldiers that are stomping out the Covenant, you know, join the UNSC, it's great, because there were only a handful of Spartan 2s, not many. I mean, they make a big difference when they're in the field, but that was a problem.
The genetic requirements to successfully augment a young child into a Spartan 2 were very, very strict. And then, as is the nature of medicine and stuff, as time progressed, things got more advanced. So around the time the Spartan 3s were being developed, the procedures were less... They were still intensive, and there was still a significant mortality rate, but it was a lot lower than the Spartan 2s.
Yeah.
It was a lot safer. And you didn't need six-year-olds to do that either. You could do it with older children.
These were the problems that the Spartan 3 program really tried to solve, which was loosen the genetic requirements that they would, you know, for children.
It was also arguably an all-volunteer outfit.
Yeah.
But when you take war orphans from the Covenant War and say, hey, do you want to kill the scary aliens that killed your family? Not many people are going to say no to that.
It cracks me up when some people argue that. Well, it's better morality-wise because they volunteered. And I'm like, hey, but they were 6 years old.
It's... On paper, is it better? In actuality, no.
No, not really.
Not at all.
But yeah, we'll get into a little bit more of their equipment, but essentially the problems that they were trying to solve from the Spartan 2 program was what we listed here. It was really expensive to do, The genetic requirements in Spartan 2 were so strict, and so it was almost impossible to get, like, more soldiers. And so who was kind of the brainchild behind the Spartan 3 program? Who kind of put all these solutions together and put them into action?
My favorite person in Halo, one of my favorite characters, Colonel James Ackerson, that rat bastard.
Oh, God. We love to hate on Ackerson. He's like...
He's such a petty little dude.
He's very petty. Yeah.
So just a quick rundown on Ackerson. He's pretty high ranking, and he was a very loud critic to Halsey's Spartan 2 program. He was very quick to point out, like, the moral flaws and everything, which he is right, but Halsey was at the time kind of taken, like, not the most lesser of evils, but, like, a lesser evil to, like, try to keep the UNSC surviving.
Yeah, humanity surviving.
Humanity surviving. Mm-hmm. So, and he's just, like, really petty and just went over her head a lot, and he's just not a nice dude.
I mean, I can't remember what his... I'm blanking on his AI.
Araquil, I think.
Yeah. Araquil? Something like that. But the AI, they infiltrated Halsey's files to get more information on the Spartan 2s. Because he was like, I'm going to put my own Spartans together, and it's going to be cheaper, and we're going to make more, and they're going to be, like, better. So that's kind of what Ackerson's plan was. But he didn't do it on his own. He can't train the Spartan 3s. You know, you've got, like, the plan in place, but to put it into action, you need to find a place to put the quote-unquote child volunteers and train them. You need somewhere very classified. You need somebody good to do it.
Arguably, you need a Spartan to train a Spartan.
There you go. So, in a roundabout way of getting a Spartan 2 to help you out with your program, basically, he gets Kurt 051 to head the Spartan 3 program as the commanding officer.
Yeah.
This is all covered in Ghosts of Onyx, but the place that they trained the Spartan 3s on was Onyx, the planet of Onyx. And specifically in Camp Kurihi. It was a very classified planet.
Yeah. And Onyx already was, like, notable because the UNSC knew about it for a while, and they, like, way before the Covenant War.
Yeah.
And they noted, like, oh, hey, there are some ruins in this world that we just discovered. It has no tectonic activity. It's very weird.
Right.
Let's just kind of keep it off the star charts for a minute.
Yeah.
So then when the Spartan 3 program came about and actually needed a hush-hush place to train the Spartans, like, oh, hey, how about Onyx? And for some reason, Perrin Goski let him.
And Camp Kurihi came with, like, a complement of, you know, drill instructors. And there were also three AIs that we meet during Ghosts of Onyx.
Mm-hmm.
I just really enjoy their names. Eternal Spring, Deep Winter, and Endless Summer.
We do like consistent theming.
Yeah, I do. I really wish we had gotten some kind of, like, fall or autumn one, but we didn't. Mm-hmm. But that's okay. Anyway, there's a whole outfit for the Spartan 3s is the point.
Yeah. They also had Chief CPO Mendez.
Yes! Oh my god, we haven't talked about Mendez.
The man, the legend.
So not only do we have a Spartan 2 training them, we have the man who trained the Spartan 2s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in every respect, they're kind of set up for success.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that they were not designed for success.
Josie.
So... So, in an effort to make the Spartan 3s more efficient and cheaper than the Spartan 2s, and they were, they successfully were, they were also designed to be, quote, disposable heroes. So, they're cheaper to produce, they can be made faster, they don't need, like, as many requirements to select someone to be a Spartan 3, so you can send them on higher risk missions, suicide missions, essentially. And, yeah, we're going to mention them later, but Alpha Company and Beta Company were entirely wiped out, except for, like, a handful of survivors for various reasons, so...
Yeah.
They got arguably the best training since the Spartan 2s, but they didn't get, like, the best equipment. They were intended to not last.
Yep.
So it's really interesting that they were given so much attention, only to be kind of thrown away.
Yeah, because, again, cheaper means their equipment is very different.
Yeah,
they were not outfitted in full Mjolnir, or Mjolnir at all.
Yeah, no. Like, their equipment was still good, just compared to the Spartan 2s.
Right.
Not on par at all. Like, for instance, like I said, they didn't get Mjolnir, so they don't have power armor. They have semi-powered infiltration armor, or spy armor.
Yeah. It's spy. SPI.
It's spy armor.
I think 343 came out and was like, it's SPI. And it was like, no, you're incorrect. Wrong.
That is the one hill I will die on in like defiance of 343. But it's also like a very silly hill to die on. It's so spy. It's all good.
It always has been spy. It'll always be spy.
And like spy armor's pretty neat. It's got like solid armor. It's has like built in like kind of active camouflage.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like perfect and like on par with the Covenant active camouflage, but it's really good.
It's like still a step up from an ODST.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
But not Mjolnir. Basically. Yeah,
but like ODST armor, it also melts in a single plasma shot. So,
yeah, no power shielding here.
Yeah, canonically, the plasma pistol is terrifying.
Okay, for real though, like I know it. You're actually right. Like total side note, but novel or canon accurate plasma pistol is freaking terrifying.
Yeah, you just need to be like grazed lightly by it, and it'll ruin your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, they also had, like, a few different augmentations.
Mm-hmm.
Notably, the Gamma Company had a series of augmentations that were different than the other two companies and even the Spartan 2s.
Yeah. Not illegal at all.
It was totally
above board. Oh, everything's totally fine. But yes, so Alpha and Beta companies had, quote, standard augmentations. Mm-hmm. And again, as you mentioned earlier, Josie, the technology's better. So there was way fewer washouts from the augmentation procedures. But for Gamma Company, they had those same augmentations, those same procedures, but they also, it was actually Kurt, as much as I love him, he was really tired of seeing his first two companies kind of wiped off the map.
Yeah, because he spent a lot of time, effort, and care into raising these kids.
Yeah, I mean, it's hundreds of kids that he oversees and is responsible for from, you know, yes, a soldier perspective, but how can you separate, especially a Spartan like Kurt, who is so personable, he really cared for them. Mm-hmm. So with Gamma Company, I guess the word is desperation.
Yeah, definitely.
He authorized these illegal drugs to be part of their augmentations. And basically what they did is, in times of extreme injury or stress, they basically heighten all of their senses and kind of make them, like, almost immune to pain.
And it suppresses their shock response, too.
Yeah, that's it.
So they won't go into shock.
Exactly.
Which sounds great on paper, but it leads to a whole lot of neurological issues down the line.
There's like a counteractive drug that they have to take as well to diminish these symptoms.
Yeah, the smoothers.
The smoothers, yeah.
And they're effective. They're very effective augmentations. But unfortunately, when your rib cage gets blasted open, even if you could fight for another 5 minutes, once you settle down, that's it.
Oh yeah. Actually, I really like that part in Ghost of Onyx. I think it's Deep Winter. So again, like,
that's right.
Deep Winter reports to Kurt, and he's like, hey, Deep Winter is the AI again. And Deep Winter's on his like last legs. He's a smart AI, and I think it's like his 7 years or getting up.
Yeah. It's almost time.
Yeah. And but his like last action or whatever is to tell Kurt, hey, I found out that like somebody, the Gamma Company, is getting these illegal drugs as part of their augmentations. You better tell someone. And Kurt's like, wow, thanks for telling me. I will absolutely tell somebody. Yep, thanks. Yeah. And then Deep Winter, like, dies. Mm-hmm. And Kurt's like, yeah, nobody's gonna know.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, Kurt.
Nobody but him.
He's like, yeah, it's me. I'm the one who authorized it.
Yeah. It like you said, it's out of desperation. It's really tragic that Kurt had to go to this length just to, like, give his Spartans more of a chance.
Yeah. Can we talk about that? Can we talk a little bit about each company?
Yeah.
And the operations that they went through.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's start with Alpha, because that makes sense to start with the first. So the first company was Alpha Company. This was the first set of, I think it was like 400 or so.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That they actually brought in, but I think only 300.
Yeah, I think each company was about 300 strong at their graduation.
And I think Gamma Company, like, there was 330, and they just went ahead and, like, absorbed the 30 anyway. Yeah. They were like, sure. But Alpha Company, once again, was trained for, like you said, a suicide mission.
Mm-hmm. Alpha Company participated in Operation Prometheus. That was an operation to disable a Covenant shipyard, K-749. It's an asteroid. And they succeeded. I think they... No, I don't know. I don't remember exactly how it is that they... If we know how it is that they completed it. Other than it was successful. With a 100% mortality rate on the Spartan side.
And the book... And this is kind of how the Spartan 3s operate in the lore with authors and stuff. They introduce you to characters.
Yeah.
Like, we actually did know some Alpha Company Spartans. We knew about Robert, A057, Shane, A112, and Jane, A203. Obviously, the A stands for Alpha.
And prior to us hearing about the results of Operation Prometheus, we followed Robert, Shane, and Jane kind of in a way that we followed John, yeah. Sam, and Kelly, where they meet each other and they complete their first, like, training mission.
Yeah.
And we, you know, it's just in, like, a couple chapters or, like, a chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, it seems like they're setting them up to be, like, focal characters.
Yeah.
And then immediately following that, you hear that Prometheus was a success with a 100% KIA rate for the Spartans.
And when we say 100%, we mean the hundreds of Spartans that were sent to that mission. On that mission.
Oh, yeah. It was nearly the whole company. The whole company.
Or everybody died. Did I say nobody died?
You said nobody died.
If only.
Yeah, no, everybody it was died. The whole company, all of Alpha Company, was sent to Prometheus.
Sort of.
Except for we'll talk about this in a bit, but there are Spartans from Alpha and Beta. I don't know about Gamma, but probably Gamma as well, that were pulled out of the main company and reassigned into other outfits, like Noble Team. Noble Team's made of Alphas and Betas,
mm-hmm.
but they were not part of Operation Prometheus or Torpedo. They were pulled aside after training to work on other stuff. But as far as, like, all the entire company that participated in Prometheus, they all died.
Right.
They all died.
And the scene in Ghost of Onyx when Perrin Goski is briefing Kurt and Mendez
mm-hmm.
on Alpha's demise, basically.
Yeah.
Is one of the most memorable moments to me. Because, like, the way Kurt reacts, he's very calm. And mm-hmm. he has a really quiet voice. And he's like, I mean, I think that they have, like, video from that's what it is. Oh my god, they have actually like video playing.
Yeah, it's a recording, I think, room. Of Robert, Shane, and Jane.
I think it's Shane's camera.
Yeah.
I think it's from Shane's perspective. And he's just seen his Spartans that he's just trained for years get demolished. And Perrin Goski is like, A, this was a success, and B, you have the funding to do another company. But mm-hmm. Kurt is just like in shock a little bit, and yeah. he has this quiet voice. He's like, just to confirm, nobody from Alpha made it back. And like, there's a moment of Perrin Goski's, like, she has a flash of sympathy in that moment. And if you know Perrin Goski, you know that that's very rare.
Yeah. Perrin Goski tries to be as inhuman as she possibly can.
Yeah. So you know that the moment right there in that book, in that room, is really tense and it's a victory, but it doesn't feel like it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the Covenant shipyard, these targets that they were sending the Spartan 3s on were huge deals.
Oh, yeah. High priority.
Very high priorities. Covenant, if they can't make ships, you know, they're...
Yeah.
It's kind of a problem.
The less Covenant ships we need to deal with, the better.
I mean, the Covenant were way advanced than the UNSC with naval combat.
Mm-hmm.
So... You know, to hit a Covenant shipyard is a huge deal.
Yeah. Which is kind of also the idea behind Operation Torpedo.
But surely Beta Company will be trained better and have totally... we won't repeat this ever again, right?
Well, they were trained better. The spy armor did get upgraded a little bit. And they didn't have a 100% mortality rate.
That's true.
Survivors at Operation Torpedo. So Operation Torpedo, first off, is the prologue to Ghost of Onyx, so you get to experience this immediately. But they were... The Beta Company was sent to eliminate a Covenant refinery on Pegasi Delta, and it worked. It was, again, a Pyrrhic victory. There were only two survivors, Tom and Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
But we see their fireteam Foxtrot. We see them infiltrate the refinery. I don't remember if it was Adam B004 or Min B174 that, like, planted the charge to detonate the refinery. But, like, as soon as they, like, set the charge, it, like, prematurely detonated, and they were evaporated. One of the other two was killed in a firefight on the way there. And Tom and Lucy were the only two Spartans that were able to limp away, dive into the ocean to escape the exploding refinery, and then make it to the kind of insultingly placed extraction craft. Because there was a number, I think there were like 25 extraction craft just around the area of operation, you know, just in case any of the Spartans made it back. But if the idea is that they're being sent on suicide missions, they kind of just put them there as like false hope for the Spartans.
Yeah.
It's like, so once you're done blowing up the refinery, get onto the Black Cats and you'll take off and we'll get you. But there was obviously no intent for that to actually happen. Yeah. But no, Tom and Lucy survived. Lucy was severely traumatized and did not speak for years and years and years and years following that.
Yeah.
But after that, Tom and Lucy were basically Kurt's right-hand men.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they helped raise Gamma Company after that. And they're still around, and they're two of my favorite characters in the whole series, honestly.
Yeah, they're fan favorites.
But that is the fate for Alpha and Beta Company, almost entirely eliminated.
Yeah. What did Wendell say in Last Light? Spartan 3s do what they do best, dying.
Oh, God,
something,
yeah.
Something like that. Fucking that's what Wendell. They were meant for. And Prometheus and Torpedo, that was operations, were successes, but with very high casualty rates. And then the third company, Gamma. We know way more about these characters than we do about Alpha and Beta. They were the company that was in current training when, in 2552, when Halo was taking place.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, they were... we don't know exactly where most of the company was,
mm-hmm.
but there were three Gamma Company teams. Because another thing that we didn't quite talk about, but... Spartan 3s were also split into teams. So just kind of like similar to Spartan 2s, teamwork was almost more important with the Spartan 3s because of their more limited equipment.
Absolutely.
So at 2552, there were three teams still on Onyx. That most of the other company was like sent somewhere. We don't know. We don't know where actually the most of Gamma Company like, is.
Pending assignment to their big mission. But it was also, like, right at the tail end of the war. I think it takes place around Halo 2.
Yeah, these three teams on Onyx were competing for, quote, top honors, whatever mm-hmm. that is.
Yeah.
But it was Saber,
Katana and Gladius.
But Saber team is who we follow the most in Ghosts of Onyx.
Yeah.
Long story short, Onyx blows up. And so the Spartan 3s from Gamma Company are brought into kind of the UNSC fold a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as a Delta Company, we know that there was a plan for a next company, because I think Gamma Company was like wrapping up and we're just doing this top honors thing, right?
Yeah, that was like a post-graduation thing. And I assume like whoever got the top honors would be pulled from the company.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
But Delta never saw fruition.
Nope.
Because the war ended.
Yeah. And their planet was exploded. But that was actually good timing, because the war ended.
Yeah. I like how there's like a lot more nuance to Onyx's fate, but we're just leaving it at it exploded.
Exploded, yeah.
It's not wrong.
We're not going through a Ghost of Onyx plot summary.
Not yet, anyway.
But who is Saber Team, and like, you know, let's list those Gammas.
So Saber Team was Ash Geo99, Olivia G291, Mark G313, Holly G003, and Dante G188. Unfortunately, two of them did not survive.
Yeah, during the Onyx campaign, Holly and Dante are killed.
Yeah. Holly was vaporized by two hunters when she saved Kelly, mm-hmm. and Dante tanked, several plasma bolts, a needler explosion to the chest, kept fighting for a while. And then when he linked back with the rest of the team, told Kurt, hey, man, I'm not feeling so good. I think I got nicked, and then died.
Yeah. That's a good example of when those illegal augmentations kick in.
Yeah.
His chest was gone, and he was like, I'm fine. I just got nicked.
His rib cage was shattered and exposed, but he kept fighting. But Ash, Olivia, and Mark made it, and they were for a time incorporated into the blue team, which is pretty neat.
Yeah,
they're like auxiliary blues.
Yeah, these three obviously are some of our favorites because they're now partnered with Veda.
Yeah,
they are ferrets under Oni, so they're just going on all sorts of shenanigans.
That's a word for it. Yeah.
Yeah, let's say shenanigans, for Oni. But I do, you know, we mentioned this earlier, but there are some other Spartans that we talked about, again, were pulled from the company before those fatal operations.
Yeah. The one that everyone knows and loves, Noble Team. So Noble Team and Halo Reach, they're all Spartan 3s, except for George. He's a Spartan 2, but everyone else, yeah. They're Spartan 2s from Alpha and Beta Company.
Yeah. June Carter and Emil are from Alpha Company, and Kat and Noble 6 are from Beta.
Mm-hmm. And then Tom and Rosenda, who are also other members of Noble Team who kind of like rotate in and out, were also from Alpha Company.
Poor Alpha Company.
Yeah. Poor Tom, too.
Yeah.
And then Noble Team is known for their participation during the Fall of Reach. June is the only survivor from Noble Team, which kind of mirrors the whole fate of the Spartan 3s in general.
What's actually kind of interesting about Fall of Reach as well, there are other Spartan 3 teams on Reach at that point.
Yeah.
I think it's June. He lists like Gauntlet, Red, and Echo teams.
Mm-hmm.
They were assisting with civilian evac operations. And so that's when that whole thing was taking place right before, I think that's right before Kat's death. They're talking about like, why put Spartans on civilian deployments? Like, we're losing this, right?
Yeah.
So, but it was like, oh my God, were some of those Gamma? Were some of those like pulled early from Gamma?
Could have been.
It could have been. They would have been, I guess, early.
Yeah. But Reach takes place like right before CE, so it's a couple months, so the timing is just about right.
Yeah, but Beta and Alpha, we could have had some more people pulled from there. When you get really into the numbers, I know people like go back and forth about the numbers. There were 400 that got, but 300, but how, was it really 300 that actually went on Prometheus? If you pulled some, and how many did you actually pull, and blah, blah, blah. But sometimes it feels like we just randomly pulled an amount of... Yeah. Spartans
the numbers are like described but also vague enough that you have plenty of wiggle room for like other Spartans to show up here or there.
I really wish one day we would have like an actual number, but that's just my OCD talking.
Understandable. Hope you better.
So that was Noble. That was Noble Team. Mm-hmm. Obviously we love them. Fall of Reach with other Spartan unknown Spartan 3s there. We have a certain section of Spartan 3s we haven't really talked about, and that's Headhunters.
Mm-hmm. Headhunters are two-man teams assigned to assassinate VIPs. That's it. That's the short and sweet of the Headhunters.
Yeah, but yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Going like deep into enemy territory, like way behind enemy lines, Headhunters were like supposed to kind of operate with kind of autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
I think we first see...
Roland and Jonah, right?
Yeah.
In the short story, Headhunters.
Yeah, I was just realizing, like, I don't know if we actually had any before that. But yeah, Roland and Jonah. What was it? Was it literally Headhunters?
Yeah, it's just called Headhunters.
It's in Halo Evolutions.
Mm-hmm. It's a really good short story. Roland and Jonah have, like, really good banter. They're very amusing.
Yeah, and it's a pretty tragic story. And pretty shocking as well. Like, the fighting is really brutal.
Pretty par for the course of the Spartan 3s.
Yeah, but with Headhunters, it felt like there was that, like, if you really excelled as a Spartan 3, or if you just had a particular skill set or something that kind of stood out among the others, you could be pulled for the Headhunters.
Yeah.
For the Headhunter program.
And I think Roland and Jonah ran into the Silent Shadows, too, in that short story. I think, like, retroactively, that's who it was that they...
Gosh.
They fought at the end.
I wonder if that's been confirmed, but that all lines up.
Yeah, because they have the similar harnesses, they got the red swords.
Yeah, I really wonder if that's been, like, retroactively confirmed. But, because that...
So, that's definitely how I headcanon it, that the Headhunters ran into the Spartan Hunters.
Tragic poetry right there.
Yeah, basically.
But that's kind of what the whole Spartan 3 program is, tragic poetry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep, yep, yep.
But we have a few others that we've run into more recently, I think. Hazel, A302, and Owen, B096. These two were...
We met them!
We met Hazel and Owen. I took a picture with them at Outpost Discovery. super fun. Hazel... I don't actually know much about Hazel. I don't know if we have a story with her. But Owen, we know from a few books. He was featured in a couple of the YA novels, Battleborn and Battleborn Meridian, which unfortunately, we didn't get... I think a third book was canceled, unfortunately. I'm kind of bummed, but he was... He kind of talks a little bit about his the way he kind of looks at the trauma he went through as a kid, and how it's just kind of who he is now.
Circling back to Hazel real quick, she appeared in Lone Wolf at the end when they were at Outpost Discovery.
Oh, yeah.
Linda's comic? Yeah.
That's right, because when Linda saved... We just talked about this. When Linda saves Gabrielle, Hazel's there to be like, thank you, I'll take her now. We're taking her to Outpost Discovery.
Yeah.
Gabriella? Gabriella.
Yeah, Gabriella. Yeah, she hasn't gotten her own story yet, but, I mean, hey, she's around.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, just like Hazel can get her own story, there's, like, a lot you could do with other Spartan 3s that have been pulled from their companies and survived. So there's plenty of, like, characters for, or potential characters for new stories.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like what we always say, like, there's always all this potential, all these characters, and it's pretty great.
Yeah, the Spartan 3s brought so many new characters.
Yeah.
So post-war Spartan 3s, because we talked about how, like, Gamma was just at the end of their training and everything. But for these Spartan 3s that are still out there, you know, the Spartan 3 program never was publicized like the Spartan 2 program. It was always secret.
Oh, yeah, because that would be absolutely detrimental to morale.
So when the Spartan 4s came along, you know, that was absolutely public knowledge that they were, that was a program, basically.
Yeah.
So the Spartan 3s were kind of folded into the Spartan program, like, A, because that makes logical sense, and B, because Oni's like, what do you mean? They've always been Spartans in this morally correct way.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
I don't know what you're talking. Yes, they're a little bit taller, but you know, they're fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. So good.
Except for Lucy.
Except for Lucy.
But
Lucy's tiny, but she'll mess you up.
Yeah, she's true. But it's similar to how, you know, Saber Team, what was left of them, was labeled KIA, because the whole illegal augmentations was just kind of too much of a liability that Oni didn't want to
officially endorse them.
Right. So that's kind of where we're at with the Spartan 3s now. The Spartan 3 program doesn't exist anymore. It's just the Spartan 3s are out there.
They are just Spartans.
Yeah.
And there's a real interesting contrast between, like, the Spartan 3s and the big lesson that John learns in Fall of Reach. Because, like, in the Fall of Reach, when John sees Sam die, Mendez has a talk with him about, like, he needs to learn the lesson between lives wasted and lives spent. So, like, Sam spent his life. He didn't... It's not a life that was wasted, because Sam, you know, he did something. He saved everyone. But the Spartan 3s were designed to basically spend lives for time, because the UNSC wasn't doing well in the war at that point. So the whole idea with the Spartan 3 is, like, let's throw all these Spartans at these big problems to give us just a little bit more time to figure out how to survive the war. And, like, the 3s were cheaper, easier, and, like, more efficient to create. So, like I said earlier, they're disposable heroes. And, like, same thing with Ackerson. He was incredibly antagonistic to the Spartan 2s, but he led the Spartan 3 program. And, like, you can kind of see it, like, in a way that the Spartan 3 is, like, this perversion of what the Spartan 2 program was supposed to be. And, like, in certain ways, it's a lot more morally reprehensible than the 2s was, which I'm not saying... I mean, the Spartan 2 program was, like, as far as, like, human rights go, that's not a very good thing, but the Spartan 3 was, like, kind of worse. But then, like you said, like, the surviving 3s are now part of the Spartan 4 program. So, like, they're given more... You could say, like, they're given more care and attention than they had when they were just Spartan 3s. So it's just really interesting that if you kind of think about the Spartan 3s are both, the next natural step for the 2s, but also, like, a twisted reflection of the Spartan 2s. But the Spartan 3s themselves are quickly and easily, like, brought into the Spartan fold. Like, they are one of them. They are Spartans.
Yeah.
I think that's why, like, Spartan 3s are so compelling to me.
Yeah. I never really, like, made that connection between those two lessons. That's actually a really cool note. like, John's lesson in Fall of Reach. Like, lives wasted versus lives spent. And as from what we know of the Spartan 3s, I think you're right. I think the Spartan 3s as people, they've said time and time again, we haven't really had one Spartan 3. Gosh, correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, for instance, for the Spartan 2 program, we had some rebels who didn't want to be part of the program.
Same thing with the 4s. For the fours, we had Ilsa Zane and the bald guy. I forget his name.
Yeah, oh.
I think it's like Scruggs or something.
Yeah, that guy. In Escalation?
Yeah.
But we haven't had that. We haven't had a single Spartan 3 with that, like, rebellious story, right?
Yeah. No.
I can't think of one where, I can't even think of one where it was like, well, I hate what was done to me, but whatever, here I am. Yeah. Like, I think there's sorrow, there's, like, somberness to their situation. Like, I think when Olivia is talking to Veda in Last Light, she talks about how, it's kind of just facts. It's how it is. Like, my family was there one moment, and they weren't there the other moment, and I just remember the smell of burning flesh.
Yeah. I think, like, it probably because, like, the Spartan 2s were forcibly conscripted. The Spartan 4s, because they're adults, there's potential that people would infiltrate it. Or just fucking go insane like Ilsa. But the Spartan 3s, they did volunteer in a way.
Yeah. So when you were talking about how they see themselves as they are now being folded into the main Spartan program, like, as Spartans, they're still Spartans. I think that's right. I don't think anybody would be resistant to the idea of that.
Yeah.
Is what I mean. Because that is who they are. They are Spartans. Like, I don't know. It's hard to find a reason why they could be like, okay, yeah, I'm in the Spartan program, but I'm still a Spartan 3. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's the Spartan 3s are really interesting, just like who they are as people and like this fate that was thrusted upon them. And then, like, the concept of the Spartan 3 program as an ideal.
Yeah. I haven't talked about the 3s in so long and in so much detail in a while. And this was really fun.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, with all that, I mean, not a shocker to say that Spartan 3s are one of our favorite elements in the lore.
Yeah. It's
incredible.
And this is kind of why. I mean, they just have so many layers to them.
Mm-hmm.
From characters to story plots.
The trauma and the drama.
There's just a lot.
And there's still a lot we could talk about the Spartan 3s. Like, we can go into Onyx, we can talk about the Ferrets and Gamma. But for now, we'll just wrap it up with this little chat about our favorite Spartans, our kids.
Our kids. Our kiddos.
Yeah, honestly, I think the Spartan 3s and Onyx are, like, the big element that brought our friendship together, isn't it?
Honestly, yeah. Upon reflection, yeah. I think we met online through our group of buddies was mostly, we were big fans of the 3s.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're right. Aww. Aww.
This episode got a whole lot wholesome real quick.
Got real wholesome.
But, yeah, so we're going to wrap it up for now. And we know that as of the time, day of recording, the next season for Halo Infinite is coming out in a few weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're definitely going to keep an eye on that narrative. And we're thinking on what our next topic for next month's video is going to be, or for next month's episode is going to be. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.